All right, I'm recording.
There okay, there we go.
The screen should go blank, which means the battery should last.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. We have been privileged to be running the Kol Yom Rishon program here for a number of years now, and thankfully the program is continuing again once again this year. We do it in conjunction with Yeshiva University and with a series of partners to whom we are grateful to. And you might not be aware, but Yom Noraim are coming, and Rosh Hashanah will be here soon. And what so often happens is that people say, oh my goodness, they walk into shul, and I really wish that I had time to look at the machzor, and I didn't have time, and then the machzor has so many pages and so many words, and it's a chaval, and it happens too often. So this morning we have a special treat, the opportunity to hear from someone who is a true Talmud of Rabbi Soloveitchik to share with us some of the interpretations of the very complex musaf of Rosh Hashanah. There is a machzor which has some of the commentary of Rabbi Soloveitchik on the Yom Noraim, and actually Rabbi Talbis did a lot of work to bring it to the public. I have the privilege of knowing Rabbi Talbis now for many years, and I had the privilege of being an employee of his. So I don't know that it was such a privilege for him, but for me it was a privilege. And one of the things that I found remarkable is that despite the many demands of being a principal of one of the largest boys' high schools in the Jewish community in North America, and the many demands that were placed upon him, especially because not only was it a high school, but as the principal of the Marcia Stern Talmudical Academy, there are also Yeshiva University obligations. But despite all that, Rabbi Talbis found an enormous amount of time to further the study of Torah, not only his own personal study of Torah, which students and faculty witnessed, which was a very important lesson, but to increase the level of students' study of Torah and that of the faculty, and really, really is something that's so vital to who he is. Rabbi Talbis has published Svarim, has written many articles of Torah in a variety of different journals, and is really a first-rate Talmud Chacham. And in addition to serving as the principal of MTA, also serves as the Rav of Shul. And it's a pleasure to have him here with us. And I ask that you give him your attention. There are source sheets that are floating around.
Thank you very much, Rishus, the Rav Mardas, Rav Shmidman. Thank you for the kind and the somewhat exaggerated words. And it was a privilege for me also to work with you all those years back. And Baruch Hashem, to see you here in this community, which I have a relationship with now from a number of different venues. My brother-in-law and sister-in-law live here, and now my son lives in the area. So it's always a pleasure to come here. And as the rabbi just mentioned, we're well into the month of Elul, and in just a couple of weeks, a little more than 2 weeks, it's going to be Rosh Hashanah. So I thought it would indeed be worthwhile to look at some themes relating to the davening of Rosh Hashanah. We all know there are two primary mitzvahs that apply on the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah. Leaving out minhagim, leaving out the customs of the apple and the honey and various other foods that people eat and so on, and going to tashlich, but things which are absolutely mitzvahs. We have two primary mitzvahs. Of course, there's the mitzvah of tekiyah shofar, and there is the mitzvah of davening, or saying special psukim and a special text on the musaf of Rosh Hashanah, that we assume we'll see in a moment. And that's what I'd like to look at. What I'd like to look at this morning, based upon the Gemara, the page of the Gemara that you have on the first page of the source sheets, the Gemara in Maseches Rosh Hashanah and Av Lamed Beis Amin Aleph. But first, just a few brief words of introduction before we actually look at the Mishnah and a few lines from the Gemara, and then try and understand what this has to do with our davening Musaf on Rosh Hashanah. So by way of general introduction, this is something all of you know, but sometimes it's good to review. The Mesil Sisharm writes in his introduction that he's not coming to say anything new. He's just coming to remind people of whatever they already know or should already know. So we know that whenever we daven, whatever we daven shachris just now this morning, whenever we daven during the course of the week, we say the main part of the davening, the principal piece of davening, is the Shmona Esrei. We call it the Shmona Esrei, which means 18. Originally, there were 18 brachas. Now, there are 19 for reasons that are not relevant for the moment. With every Shmona Esrei that we say, whether Shachris this morning, Bez Hashem Mincha this afternoon, and Ma'ariv tonight, and it could be the middle of July and early February, whenever it is that we daven or in the course of the week, we say a Shmona Esrei that consists of 19 brachas, and the brachas are divided into three basic categories. The first three brachas are brachas of Shevach, brachas of praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Those are the first three brachas. Then the last three brachas are brachas, which the major theme is thanks. You have to look a little carefully to figure out how it will all relate to thanks, but that's understood by Chazal as a brachas of Hodah. The first three brachas are brachas of Shevach, the last three brachas are brachas of Hodah, and in the middle 13 is a total of 19. So three at the beginning, three at the end. The middle 13 brachas are brachas of Bakasha, various requests that a person asks, both personal requests, things that I need as an individual. So we ask for a bracha for wisdom, and we ask for a bracha for forgiveness of sins, we ask for a bracha of refuah, for having a good health, and we ask for a bracha for parnasa, and the other requests are more on the communal level, communal requests, brachas to have good and fair judges, and to have rebuild Yerushalayim, and so on. Those are all the brachas of requests, the last one of which, the 13th in that middle category, is kind of a catch-all bracha, Shema Koleinu, a general request, hear our voice, hear our tefillah, Shema Koleinu, Shalokeinu, etc., and it concludes Baruch Ata Hashem Shomea Tefillah. That's the basic structure of every weekday Shmona Esrei that we say throughout the course of the entire year. Three brachas of Shevach, of praise at the beginning, three brachas of Hodah, of thanks at the end, and in the middle, 13 requests. That's the average Shmona Esrei that we say. We just said it this morning. On Shabbos and on Yontif, of course, the Shmona Esrei is different. The first three brachas are the same, and the last three brachas are the same. Now, sometimes, on a weekday too, we have various inserts that we stick into somewhere in those first three brachas. So let's say, on Rosh Hashanah, starting on Rosh Hashanah, for the 10 days through Yom Kippur, we're going to put in the phrase, Zochreinu L'chaim El'chavetz B'chaim, a little one-line insert. During the course of the winter months, from Sukkot until Pesach, we say Mashiv Ruach HaMoed HaGeshem. Some people say Morid HaTol during the summertime, and so on, little inserts. And the end three brachas, the last three brachas, we also have inserts. On Rosh Chodesh, we say Yalav Yavo, and the concluding three brachas, if it's Chanukah or Purim, we say Al HaNisim, but the basic brachas are the same. The first three and the last three. So on Shabbos and on Yontif, we also say the same regular first three brachas, the same regular last three brachas. What we leave out are the brachas of the requests. All those requests, the middle 13 brachas, are omitted on Shabbos. Not that some people think it's forbidden to say these, not exactly forbidden to say these brachas on Shabbos. As a matter of fact, if a person by mistake, sometimes that happens, right? Sometimes, can't speak for anybody else, but sometimes, you know, you're davening, let's say Friday night, and we're very tired, it's been a rough week, and you start to say this one essay without a sitter. But naturally, after you say Akel HaKadosh, you begin to say Atachon and Ram Das, you go on in the weekday Shmona Esrei, and sometimes you don't realize until you say Slach Lo, and then you realize, and then you start scratching as if, you know, in case anybody was watching, right? But anyway, the halacha is that if a person by mistake, it's a side point, the halacha is if a person by mistake begins one of the weekday brachas, so you don't have to stop and finish the bracha. It's not forbidden to say that you finish the bracha and then go back to the Shabbos. Or Musaf's a different story, but we'll leave out Musaf for the moment. In any event, it's not that it's forbidden to say these three these middle 13 brachas on Shabbos. It's just the Chazal didn't want us to have to worry about needs on Shabbos. That's not the spirit of Shabbos and Yom Tov. We try and think about different things. So what do we say instead? On Shabbos, in the middle of the Shmona Esrei, after the first three brachas, before the last three brachas, we say a middle bracha called Kedushas Hayom. It speaks about Shabbos, right? We start on Friday. It's a little different from Friday night to Shabbos morning to Shabbos afternoon. But basically, we start Friday night, Atah Kidashta Hashem Ashvi L'Shmecha, right? We say the Pesukim Vayechul Hashamayim V'Oretz, right? On Shabbos morning, Yismach Moshe V'Matnas Chelko, right? We say the Pesukim V'Shomru Mincha Atah Echad V'Shimcha Echad, right? We speak about Shabbos. Musaf is a little different, but we speak about the Karbonus of Musaf on Shabbos. And then each time we end, Elokeinu V'Elokei Hoseinu, Ritzeivim Nuchoseinu, accept our rest, graciously, and so on. May it be appeasing to our Kodesh Baruch Hu. We end, Baruch Atah Hashem, Mekadesh HaShabbos. So on Shabbos, actually, the Shmona Esrei, on a weekday, the Shmona Esrei is called the Shmona Esrei. That's a misnomer. It's off by one, because there were 19 brachas, because one was added. On Shabbos, we call the Shmona Esrei. It's off by a lot. Only seven. Right? Only seven brachas. We still call it, in the slang, we still call the Shmona Esrei. But the Sfaradim, they call it the Amidah, right? Because we're standing. It's probably more technically correct. But all right, we call it the Shmona Esrei. So you have the same regular first three brachas, the same regular last three brachas, one slightly longer bracha in the middle, Kiddush Hayom. That's the seven brachas. The same is true of Yontif, right? Whether Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, Right? We begin, same first three brachas, same last three brachas, and in the middle, instead of the requests, and instead of the Shabbos theme, obviously speak about Yontif. So, Ato v'chartanu mikol ha'amim, v'hav tosonu v'rotzi sabonu, v'ati ten lono ha'shon l'keinu es yom, whatever holiday, Yom Chag HaMatzah says, Yom Chag HaShavua says, Yom Chag HaSavua, whatever holiday is, you stick that in, and you say Yalav Yovo, and again, you mention whatever the holiday is, and you say at the end, Elokeinu v'chesen, you say the brocha, and we say, we should have Simcha and so on, v'hasino, shalokeinuches, birkas, modecha, l'chaim, u'shalom, l'simcha, l'sos, and ends, Baruch Ato Hashem, Mekadish Yisrael, v'hazmanim. Or on Yom Kippur, it'll be Mekadish Yisrael, v'yom HaKippurim. And Rosh Hashanah is nicknamed by Chazal Yom HaZikaron, Mekadosh Yom HaZikaron. That's the general text of the Shemoneh Esrei. Again, it's a misnomer. It's a Shemoneh Esrei on Yontif, similar to Shabbos. The regular first three, the regular last three, and in the middle, one bracha called Kedushas Hayom. That's the. By the way, when we have Rosh Chodesh, we have a Musaf on Rosh Chodesh. A Shachris on Rosh Chodesh is the same as Shachris on the other weekday. But in Musaf, we all have a similar structure. Musaf and Rosh Chodesh, the same first three brachas, the same last three brachas, and in the middle, a bracha about the karbonos of Rosh Chodesh, and ends, Mekadosh Yisrael, B'Rosh Chodoshim. So that's this dead general structure. The exception to this rule is Musaf on Rosh Hashanah. Musaf on Rosh Hashanah, it's a different Shemoneh Esrei. Many similarities. First three are the same, the last three are the same. Again, with the inserts, Zachrein L'chaim, Chsov L'chaim Tov, but leaving out the inserts, a basic same three, first three brachas, same last three brachas. But we have something else that we have to incorporate in Musaf, and that is three special brachas called Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. Now I say Musaf on Rosh Hashanah, let me stress at the outset that there are Rishonim, the Balamor, there are Rishonim who say it's not true only of Musaf on Rosh Hashanah, it's true of every Shemoneh Esrei on Rosh Hashanah, Meiriv, Shachris, and Mincha as well. We don't paskin that way. The davening would be even longer on Rosh Hashanah. But we assume halacha say Ma'ariv on Rosh Hashanah, Shachris on Rosh Hashanah, and Mincha on Rosh Hashanah follow the regular Yontif structure, the same seven brachas, the first three, the last three, and the regular shorter bracha of Kedushas Hayom. But in Musaf, the way we assume is just Musaf, on Rosh Hashanah we have to incorporate these extra three themes, all of which are themes relating to Rosh Hashanah, special brachas of Rosh Hashanah, Malchios, from the word Melech, right? Describing, and we'll see the text inside shortly, describing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech. That's one of the themes of Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the re-coronation, so to speak, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we go through every single year because it's the anniversary of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not exactly. People assume it's the anniversary of the creation of the world. It's not quite correct. It's the anniversary of the creation of man. Right? The anniversary of the sixth day of creation. So until there was man in the world, right? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was always the king. We believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu existed forever. But until there were creatures capable of understanding that, the title king doesn't mean much. If I get stranded on a desert island someplace, nobody else there, and I announce that I'm the king, it's very nice, but it doesn't mean anything, because nobody there understands what it means, so I can call myself whatever I like. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the king. It was only once there was man, the being that's capable of relating to the concept of someone of greater authority and so on. So in a certain sense, Rosh Hashanah is the anniversary of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's establishment of himself as the king over the universe, Melech HaOlam. So that's a theme of Rosh Hashanah. We know we make a big fuss in Shachris, HaMelech, right? That's a big theme of Rosh Hashanah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech. Then there's Zichronos, that's the next bracha, Zichronos, from the word Lizkor, to remember. On Rosh Hashanah, we believe our tradition is that on Rosh Hashanah, every single person is judged, every single creature is judged by HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Rosh Hashanah. Yimei Hadin, that's one of the themes of Rosh Hashanah also. And so we ask as Zichronos, we acknowledge that Hashem remembers and is aware of everything, and we ask Him to remember the good things, that's what we hope, right? That's Zichronos. And then Shofar is obviously also connected to Rosh Hashanah. We'll see each one of these things in depth shortly. Those are the three special brachas, Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofar. So our mission now, if we look at the Gemara here, in Rosh Hashanah, Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Daf Lamed Bei Zaman Aleph, the Mishnah discusses what the structure of the Shemoneh Esrei is. Again, the Mishnah never mentions that we're talking only about Musaf, and that gives rise to, as I said before, the position of some Rishonim that this is true of every Shemoneh Esrei, but the way we paskin our practice is this is a reference to Musaf only. So let's see what it says. You can follow along. Seder Brachas. Here is the order of the brachas of the Shemoneh Esrei, again, the nickname, misnomer, Shemoneh Esrei on Rosh Hashanah. Omer Avos, first you say the bracha of Avos. Well, that's the first bracha, the standard first bracha. It's called Avos because it begins, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu, Elokei Avoseinu, Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, and it ends, Mogen Avram. So that bracha is nicknamed Avos. I think in the art school, Siddur actually prints This is called Avos, right? That's the first bracha. Good, nothing new here. Second bracha, Ugvuros. That's the second bracha. Gvuros begins Ata Gibor, right? About the might of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ata Gibor, Gvuros. And it ends with the words, Baruch Ata Hashem Mechaya HaMesim. That's the second bracha of the Shemoneh Esrei. Say Gvuros. Then, Ukedushas Hashem. That's the third bracha of the Shemoneh Esrei. Kedushas Hashem. About the sanctity of God's name. Ata Kadosh. You are sanctified. V'shimcha HaKadosh Baruch Ata Hashem HaKel HaKadosh. On Rosh Hashanah we say HaMelech HaKadosh. But that's the third bracha of the Shemoneh Esrei. Kedushas Hashem. And now continues the Mishnah. V'cholel Malchuyos Imahen. The text of Malchuyos is inserted in that bracha. Which means that actually that's usually the shortest bracha in the Shemoneh Esrei. Ata HaKadosh Shim HaKadosh V'kdoshim Chol Yom V'chasel Baruch Ata Hashem HaKel HaKadosh. A one-line bracha. In the standard Shemoneh Esrei, just davened this morning, you look in the Siddur, you'll see that's usually the shortest bracha. According to what the Mishnah is saying here, on Rosh Hashanah at Musaf, the way we paskin, Malchuyos, this theme of Hashem being the Melech, whatever that text is, which we'll see shortly, is incorporated into the third bracha of the Shemoneh Esrei, Kedushas Hashem. And it says, V'eino tokeya, but you, eino tokeya, you don't blow the shofar at that point. Okay, good. Continues the Mishnah. Next you say, Kedushas Hayom, the regular Yontif bracha we said before. And so on, a bracha about, and it's musaf, so you speak about the carbon. Whenever we daven musaf, it's because on that day, there was a carbon musaf. The word musaf just means additional. So every day in the Beis Hamikdash, there were carbonas brought in the morning and the afternoon. With certain days, holidays, you had a carbon musaf, which means an additional sacrifice. So whenever they used to have a carbon musaf, in the days of the Beis Hamikdash, we have a tefillah called tefillas musaf, where we actually describe, and we say what the carbon, how many cows were brought, and how many this were brought, right? That's the text. Shabbos, we do it. We do it on Rosh Hashanah as well, and in Yontif as well. So that's called Kedushas Hayom. Okay, so that's not different necessarily than any other Yontif. But V'tokeya, you blow shofar at that point. We'll come back to that. Then you say Zichronos. Then you say this special bracha called Zichronos, V'tokeya, and you blow shofar. Then you say Shofros, this special bracha called Shofros, then V'tokeya. It's actually three tekiyas, three times tekiya. After Kedushas Hayom, the fourth bracha, after Zichronos, the fifth, after Shofros, the sixth. After Malchios, according to this view, there is no Tkiya Shofar, because Malchios was included as part of the third bracha, the bracha of Kedushas Hashem. Then, V'omer Avoda. Avoda is the last three brachas. Ritzei Asher L'kenem Amchai Yisrael V'Yisrael Som, V'Hashev Es HaAvoda L'Dvir Be'Secha, right? We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to restore the temple service, Baruch Ato Hashem, HaMachzish Chinosu L'Tzion. That's the bracha of Avoda. That's regular. And then, V'Hoda'a. That's the bracha we call modim, right? Modim and achdulach, shalat Hashem, etc., etc. Baruch Ato Hashem, hatov shimcha, ulechane lehodo. So that's the bracha of hodo. And then the last thing is birchas kohanim. The birchas kohanim leads into the bracha that we call sim shalom. The last phrase of birchas kohanim is yaseim lecha shalom, sim shalom tova bracha, and so on. So that's the final bracha. So the last three are the same, the standard bracha. All of this is Divrei Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. This is all the opinion of a Tana by the name of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. So again, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri holds, we have to say these three extra brachas on Rosh Hashanah, Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros, but Malchios is incorporated into the third bracha. The third bracha becomes extended, right? You have Avos, the bracha of the first bracha, Guros, same as always. The third bracha on Rosh Hashanah, Musaf, is Kedushas Hashem. Included with that is Malchios. Then the regular bracha of Kedushas Hayom, the holiday bracha, Holiday Musaf bracha, would end Mekadosh Yisrael v'Yom HaZikaron. Then the special Rosh Hashanah bracha called Zichronos, the special Rosh Hashanah bracha called Shofros, and then the regular last three. That's the structure of the Musaf Shemoneh Esrei according to Rabbi Divrei, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. But notice, again, that he had two things. Malchios, according to him, did not stand on its own. Malchios was incorporated into the third bracha of Kedushas Hashem. That's point one, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. And point two, there was no Tkiya Shofar, according to him, after Malchios. Okay, now it's interesting. Tkiya Shofar, it's a fascinating thing. I don't know what they're meaning here. They're blowing the Psalms when I say here? No, just in the... So most Ashkenazic shuls, most like this shul, my shul also in Tinek, we only blow Tkiya Shofar and Musaf in this repetition of Shemoneh Esrei. The Arch Sidim and the Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon, others, The Briskas, you know, who actually blow Tkiya Shofar in the silent Shemana Esrei as well. A little confusing. But most Ashkenazic shuls don't do like that. We blow Shofar, and that's probably, again, the different minhagim, different traditions. Some of you probably grew up here in Tkiya Shofar in the silent Shemana Esrei as well. Again, most Ashkenazim, it's only blown during the, at these points, during the Chazor Hashatz, during the repetition of the Shemana Esrei. Okay. All of this is Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Amar lo Rabbi Akiva, continues the mission on the first wide line. Amar lo Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva said, Im eino tokeo l'malchios, you, sir, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, if you're not going to blow shofar after Malchios, which is what he said, because he put Malchios in the third bracha, there was no shofar. So Akiva said to him, Im eino tokeo l'malchios, lama hu maskir. Why are you bothering to say it at all? Strange question. But that's what Akiva said. According to you, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, if you're not going to blow the shofar after Malchios, lama hu maskir. Why say it at all? Okay, that's what he says. Ella, rather, says Rabbi Akiva, here is the proper order of the text of the Musaf on Rosh Hashanah. Omer, Avos, that we agree on, the first bracha, the same regular first bracha, Avos, Alakenu, Kasenu, Kavram, Alakitzel, Kakakam, etc., Bracha Shemal, Ganavram, good. Ugvuros, Ato Gibor, same, concluding, Bracha Hashem, Mechaya Mesim. Ukdushas Hashem, then you say the same regular third bracha with nothing added to it. Kiddushas Hashem. Maybe we change it from Akela Kaddish to Amelech Kaddish. Other than that, it's the same regular bracha. Now, continues Rabbi Akiva, and here's where he parts company with the Yochanan ben Nuri. The Cholel Malchios in Kiddushas Hayom. Malchios is not included with the third bracha Kiddushas Hashem like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri claimed. No, says Rabbi Akiva. Malchios is included with Kiddushas Hayom. The bracha, the unique bracha of Musaf on Rosh Hashanah, which is, again, like Shabbos, like any other Yontif, here's where Malchios gets included. Malchios is included with Kiddush Hayom, the fourth bracha, not the third bracha like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri claimed, the fourth bracha, and Vitokea, and then you blow Shofar after that combination of Malchios and Kiddush Hayom, you blow Shofar, Zichronos, then you say Zichronos, Vitokea, Shofros, Vitokea, right? You say Zichronos, blow the Shofar. Again, our practice only in the repetition of Shemana Esrei, right? The Chazor HaShat, not the still Shemana Esrei. Shofros, Vitokea, right? Good. And then, V'omer, Avoda, V'hoda, V'brichas Kohen, in the last three, like any other time. Very good. That's the Mishnah. So it boils down to a machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and about Rabbi Akiva, between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Akiva. Where do we put Malchios? According to Yochanan ben Nuri, Malchus incorporated in Kedushas HaShem, the third bracha. According to Rekiva, it's put in Kedushas HaYom, the fourth bracha. And as a result of that, Machlokas, is there Tkiya Shofar after Malchios? According to Yochanan ben Nuri, there is no Tkiya Shofar after Malchios, after the third bracha. According to Rekiva, there is, because Malchios is in the fourth bracha. So before we go any further, we have to understand the following. It seems that there are, on a regular Shabbos, a regular Yontif, seven brachas in the Shemana Esrei, so like we said before. And then on Yontif, on Rav Rosh Hashanah, and at least the way we paskin at Musaf, you have three more themes that have to be brought into the mix. Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofars. Now the one thing Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri agreed upon is that Malchios is doubled up with something. Just a machlokas, what it's doubled up with. Which gives rise to the obvious question, why doubled up with anything? Why not have Malchios as its own bracha? As both the Akiva and Yochanan ben Nuri agreed that Malchios is combined with something else. They just disagreed. Yochanan ben Nuri said it's combined with the third bracha, and Akiva said it's combined with the fourth bracha. And we pass on Rabbi Akiva, by the way, as you know. So the question is why not? We end up, according to this mission, according to both opinions, with nine brachas. Right? The same regular first three, the same regular last three. Then you have Kedusha Yom in the middle, and then Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofars. Malchus is stuck in with something, and Zichronos and Shofars are loose. So you have a total of nine brachas. Why not just have 10 brachas? I mean, what's this business? Why do you have to incorporate anything with anything? It's an interesting question that Gemara doesn't ask. Rav Soloveitchik suggested the answer to this is based upon a Gemara in brachas that raises the question in general. Why was the original Shemana Esrei was composed, did Chazal make specifically 18 brachas? One at 14, one at 22. I mean, where's 18? I'm sure they could have come up with some other things to put in. I'm sure they could have taken out something. What's with 18? So the Gemara has a number of different suggestions as to where the number 18 comes from. And then when they added the 19th bracha, they have to come with some kind of a hint. The idea, basic idea is that Chazal always tried to model, that's a general principle, whatever they instituted after already existing principles in Tanakh. called the Tikkun Rabbanim, came the Raisa Tikkun. The Chachamim always tried to model what they're instituting on already existing, a formula that exists in the Tanakh. So we found in that Gemara, there's some Trila that had 18 brachas, on a different Trila, 19 brachas. They modeled after that. So and they asked, where does the 7 on Shabbos comes from here? One of the things they asked, where do the 9 brachas of Rosh Hashanah come from? So the Gemara answers in brachas that Chana, we read about the Chana as the Haftorah on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. Chana, the mother of Shmuel HaNavi, right? That's the first, the Haftorah, the first day of Rosh Hashanah, the first parak of Sefer Shmuel Aleph. Describes Chana, as you know, you remember, she couldn't have children for many years and so on. She finally went and she made a promise and so on. So, you know, and then eventually she had a baby and she brought, at the very end, had the Tefillah of Chana. And we laid it on Rosh Hashanah, that's the Haftorah. And if you look carefully in the Tefillah of Chana, there are 9 times the name of Hashem is mentioned. So the Gemara says, since Chana is a central figure, or one of the central figures on Rosh Hashanah, so our Shmona Esrei of Musaf is modeled after the Tefillah of Chana, has 9 times a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, name of Hashem, so because Chana had 9 times name of Hashem in her Tefillah. Suggested of Salavechik, so therefore Chazal, that's why they didn't want to have 10. They wanted the bracha of the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, the Tefillah on Rosh Hashanah, should be modeled or connected somehow to the Tefillah of Chana. Since the Tefillah of Chana had 9 Azkaras, 9 mentionings of Hashem's name, so the bracha, the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah has 9 Tefillahs. Well, if you have 10 themes and not only 9 brachas to fit them into, so something's got to be doubled up with something. So that's the machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. What do you double up Malchus with? But that's what Soloveitchik suggested as to why something has to be doubled up. Doesn't stand on its own. Okay. Let's look just a couple of lines of the Gemara. The Gemara is bothered by this peculiar question that Rabbi Akiva posed to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Again, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri said that we understand now, according to Soloveitchik's insight, as to why something had to be combined. You want to have a total of 9 brachas. Good. So they agree, Malchus is doubled up. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri said Malchus is doubled up with Kiddush Hashem. But there was no Kir Shofar afterwards. Rabbi Akiva disagreed, he didn't like that. He said, Malchus should be doubled up with Kiddush Hayom, the fourth bracha, and there is Tekiah afterwards. And Rabbi Akiva said to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, excuse me, sir, but according to you, there's no Tekiah Shofar, so why in the world are you saying Malchus altogether? So the Gemara says as follows. Gemara quotes, right, the third, fourth line of the page, fourth line after they get wide. Amar Rabbi Akiva, im ein tekel Malchus lama hu maska. That's a quote from the Mishnah. The Gemara begins, well, it's print, you know, the Gemara was originally Baal Peh, and so on, so sometimes they'll begin with the quote that they're analyzing. So that's the quote. Ask the Gemara, Lama hu maskir? I mean, why are you saying Malchios? Rachmana Omar Itkar! Exclamation point. The Torah says you have to say Malchios. That's one of the dinim of Rosh Hashanah. What kind of question is that? Well, if you're not going to blow shofar after Malchios, why are you saying Malchios altogether? Ask the Gemara, what do you mean, why are you saying Malchios altogether? Because that's the dinim of Rosh Hashanah. You have to say Malchios. Right? What's it got to do with Kiyah Shofar? Rachmona Amar Idkar. I want to digress for just a moment. Share another insight from our salvation. Rachmona Amar. Rachmona means the merciful one. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Torah says. That's an interesting question. Does the Torah actually say to recite Malchus, Zichonos, and Shofros? That's actually a machlokas we've shown him. Whether the recitation of Malchus, Zichonos, and Shofros is d'oraisa or d'rabbanan. Rashi and others are of the opinion that that is a mitzvah d'oraisa. Which this may or may not relate to the general question of whether tefillah altogether is a deraisa of the Rabbanah. It's also a dispute. But according to some Rishonim, the recitation of Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros on Rosh Hashanah is a fulfillment of a Torah requirement. And that's the simple reading of this Gemara. Rachmana Omar Idkar. The Torah says. So there's the proof. And there's other Gemaras. The Gemara says that Kadosh Baruch Hu said, why should you say Malchus? Because I want you to crown me, and I should remember good things. That's why Zichronos, and use the shofars. There are different passages in the Gemara, which we'll need to look into at the moment, but they all seem to indicate that it's a Doraisa. The Ramban asked what we call in the Yeshivas a bomb kasha, a tremendous question against this opinion. You don't have it here, but you'll take my word for it. The previous page, Lamed Aleph Mid Beis, the Gemara discusses the following interesting question. I can't imagine it happening today after the advent of printing, but at one time it could happen. You know, today everybody has machzorim and sidurim aplenty. But before printing, you know, people didn't have sidurim, people didn't have machzorim. In fact, the original practice of chazoras hashatz, the repetition of Shemona Esrei, was for those people who didn't know the regular Shemona Esrei by heart, they would listen. And let's be honest, on Rosh Hashanah, that's a long Shemona Esrei. Most people don't know it by heart. Okay? So they had one person who had a machzor asidda, a handwritten manuscript, and he would read it, everybody else would listen. That's how it worked. Today, everybody's got their own private machzor. Okay, that gives rise to the questions of what do we need a Chazaras Hashad? So that's not for today. But that was the old practice. So the Gemara presents the following scenario. You have a guy who lives in the middle of the boondock someplace, and he's sort of like near this community and sort of near that community. And he finds out that in the community A, they've got somebody there who can blow the shofar. They're going to hit the shofar. But nobody in that community has the siddur. They're not going to be able to say malchus, zichronos, and shofars. If they daven the best they can, they won't be able to say malchus, zichronos, and shofars. But they'll hit the shofar. The town on his other side, they got somebody with the text, but they lost the shofar broke. There's no shofar. Now the towns are too far to get together, but he's in the middle. So the Gemara wonders, where should he go? Should he go to the town where he's going to hear the shofar? Or should he go to the town where he's going to hear malchus, zichronos, and shofars? This special tefillah about what should he do? So the Gemara says, you go to the place that has tekiah shofar. Why? The Gemara says, because hado raisa, hado rabbanon. Tekiah shofar is a mitzvah of the Torah. Malchus zichronos shofar is only a mitzvah of the rabbanon. So we're observant Jews. We try to keep all the rabbanons also. But if there's, you're stuck. So Torah commandment outweighs rabbinical commandment. So that's clear that the Malchus zichronos shofar is only a rabbinical commandment. So says the Ramban, checkmate. How can you claim that it's a Torah commandment to say Malchus and Choshofers when the Gemara openly says Kishofer is midah Hodoraisa Hodorabonon Kishofer is a Doraisa and Malchus and Choshofers is Hodorabonon. So the end of it. So those who study the Gemara know that there's very rarely a checkmate. It doesn't always come up. So, but that's what it looks like. So Rav Soloveitchik explained as follows, and others suggested this also. It's in the Rishonim don't say this, so not the Rishonim, but the Rav suggested the following. He said, what it means, what Chazal mean when those Rishonim who say that Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofars is Doraisa, they mean in conjunction with Tekiah Shofar. When there is Tekiah Shofar, so the Tekiah Shofar is enhanced by reciting all these Psukim of Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofars. So then it's Doraisa. By itself, it's not Doraisa. That's what the Gemara says. This guy who had the choice to go to town A or town B, if he would go to town B to say Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofars, he wasn't going to have Shofar. So for him, it's Taka Rabbanan. When do we say the recitation in Psukim of Doraisa are biblical in nature? That's when it's with Tekiah Shofar. With Tekiah Shofar, which really is an important insight in general. It means when we have Baruch Hashem today, we have Shofars and we have Sidurim and Machzorim. So we have the best of both worlds. So our recitation, according to this opinion, of Malchus Yechon Shofars with Tekiah Shofar. And again, we do it. Again, some shuls, even the Salish might say, but here in the most Ashkenazi communities, we blow only in the repetition of Shemana Esrei. These Psukim enhance the Tekiah Shofar. They're part of what we're going to develop that theme in a moment. But that's the Oraisa. So therefore, there's no question. So, but nonetheless, and that's why the Gemara can say here, Rachmana Amar Idkar. However, even if you want to insist that Malchus Zichronos Shofar is only the Rabbanon, and not like this Lomdus, like the Ramban claims, you could say that when the Gemara uses the phrase, the Torah says, it's just sometimes you tell a kid, oh, the Torah says, you know, I'll turn lights on Shabbos. Well, the Torah doesn't say that. It means that's what we do, right? In other words, sometimes Rachmana Amar can just mean we call an asmachta. It's a remez, a hint, it's indirect. It's just something, we say, oh, and the Torah says, no, I'll do that. The Torah doesn't say exactly like that. So that's what it could mean. Whatever exactly it means, though, the kasha against Rabbi Akiva is clear. Going back to our discussion. Rabbi Akiva said, according to you, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, if you're not going to blow shofar after Malchios, why should you say Malchios altogether? So the Gemara, what do you mean, why should? Because there's a din on, whether it's the rice or the bonnet, whatever it is, but there's a din on Rosh Hashanah. You have to say Malchios. What kind of question is that? It doesn't seem to have anything to do with Tekiah Shofar. I mean, even if we assume that Tekiah Shofar enhances it or whatever, but it's part of the discussion. It's part of the obligation on Rosh Hashanah. So what does Rabbi Akiva mean by that? So the Gemara answers, no. Ella, here's what Rabbi Akiva meant. Rabbi Akiva knew that. That's not what Rabbi Akiva meant. Why should you bother saying Malchus altogether? He knew there's a din to say Malchus. Ella, what he meant was, Loma Eser. Why 10? Lema Tesha. You should only say 9. Why? De Hoel v'ishtani, ishtani. Because once you've changed, you've changed. Period. End of report. The Gemara goes on to something else. How many people are satisfied with that answer? So we don't know exactly what the Gemara means. 9, 10, 9, 10, 1. So later on, Rashi helps us out a little bit here. Okay, Rashi says, he alludes to the Gemara later on. The Gemara says, that we're going to look into it in a moment, Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros each have 10 psukim associated. You know, the rabbi said before, You know, you come into Shul HaShem, open the machzer, and the chazan is going, V'ne'emar. All these psukim, you know, it seems like a random collection. And Be'ez Hashem, maybe another time we can go to Salvation, get some beautiful insight into the progression of psukim, a different discussion. But, you know, with all these psukim, we actually say 10 psukim in each. 10 psukim Malchus, 10 psukim Zohar, 10 psukim, all these psukim. So Rabbi Kiva, according to Gemara's answer, what he was saying to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, he said, listen, sir, if you're not going to blow shofar, why are you saying 10 psukim? You should only say 9. According to you, you should only say 9 psukim. Why? The ho'il v'ishtane ishtane. Rashi tells us, and I mean the first of the thin lines in Rashi, lema teisha, you should only say 9. The ho'il v'ishtane, since you've changed, meaning v'ishtane malchios mizichonos in tekiya, she'ain token bohen. Just like you, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, have distinguished Malchios from the other two, Zichonos and Shofars, in that there's no Tkiyah Shofar, right? That's Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's position, right? Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says there's no Tkiyah Shofar after Malchios. There is Tkiyah Shofar after Zichonos, there's Tkiyah Shofar after Shofars. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri has sort of divorced Malchios from Zichonos and Shofars. So Bekiva says to him, once you're divorcing Malchios from Zichonos and Shofars, insofar as you don't blow Shofar after Malchios, then, says Rashi, then ishtunu nami lefachos mehen. Then you should say less psukim. You should say one less pasuk. Oh, okay, good. So how many people now are satisfied with the answer? So obviously we need a little more explanation here, because and that's the end of the Gemara. It goes on to something else. Tana Rabbana goes on to something else. So apparently Rabbi Akiva is bothered, something to do with this extra pasuk. If you're not going to blow shofar, you shouldn't say 10 psukim, you should only say 9 psukim. What in the world is going on here? That's the Gemara. I mean, just to try and figure out the Gemara. So I'm going to share with you Rav Soloveitchik's ideas, but by taking a look, and hopefully this will give you a better understanding of Malchus, Zichonos, and Shofars altogether. So 2.5 weeks from now, you'll understand it better. It's not at all a random collection of things. So let's try and understand a little bit about Malchus, Zichonos, and Shofars through Rav Soloveitchik's suggestion. And they were kind enough to print here on the page. In the next page, you have Malchus, and we're not going to read every word, but you'll see the structure, the basic structure. Malchus, Zichonos, and Shofars, these three special Rosh Hashanah brachas, okay? And you know what, before I go into it, I want to share, just that came to my head, one other side comment. You know, we paskin like Rabbi Akiva, right? We don't paskin like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. But it is interesting, and therefore, by us, the third bracha should be exactly the same as always. Ata kadosh, shimu kadosh, v'kdosh, v'chol yom, v'sala bracha l'Hashem, hakela kadosh, or amelacha kadosh, fine. But even though we paskin like Rabbi Akiva, we have an expansion of that bracha on Rosh Hashanah. Right? We do have a long, what's that? Now, where does that pop in from? That's not Malchios, is it? Well, what is it? It's an expanded version of that bracha. So Rav Soloveitchik had an uncle whose name was Rav Nachum Karkovsky, who was the rabbi in Chasilavich. Chasilavich is the city where Rav Yosher Ben Soloveitchik, the Rav, grew up. His father, Moshe Soloveitchik, was the rabbi in that city. And before the father, Moshe Soloveitchik, was the rabbi in that city, so his uncle, Rav Nachum Karkovsky, said, there's a sefer called Avodas HaMelech, a commentary on the Rambam, by Rav Nachum, really only on the first section of the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, Sefer Mada. But anyway, includes Hilchos Tshuvos, he has a discussion. So Rav Nachum Karkovsky suggested, it's not in the sefer. This suggestion, I don't think, is in the Avodah Samela. In that sefer, the Rav said it over in the name of his uncle. He suggested that might be a holdover from the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. It's a big chiddush to say that, but that's what he suggests. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who incorporated Malchios into that third bracha, we don't paskin that way, but he did. So the text of that bracha changed. And if you think about it for a moment, that those things that we had, and everyone should recognize and be afraid of, everyone should get together to serve God properly. That's Malchios. That's what it is. That was probably, or very possibly, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's introduction to Malchios. All those little five paragraphs of the speak about everybody recognizing the sovereignty of God, right? And asking God to reign over in Yerushalayim and son of Yimloch Hashem Olam, etc., right? So, Rabbi Nachum Karkovsky suggested that expansion of the Brach of Kedushas Hashem was a holdover from Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's opinion that the third Brach included Malchus. We don't paskin that way, but that text somehow remained in our Siddur. I don't know, it's an interesting thought. But let's get back to our issue. The way we paskin, you have malchus, yechonos, and shofars. Malchus is together with kedushas hayom, which means you begin the fourth bracha, atavachartanu mikolo amim, and so on. And then we say like anyantif, omipnei chatoinu galeinu meartzeinu v'nisrachaktum, and we ask the Kodesh Baruch Hu to bring us back to the Beis HaMikdash, and we actually identify what the korban on Rosh Hashanah was, of a chodesh hashvi, in the seventh month, you bring this amount of cows, and so on and so forth, right? But then we move into malchus. So malchus, yechonos, and shofros are each structured in the same way. Bez Hashem, after you hear, you'll appreciate and understand the davening better. Each section, Malchus, Yechon, Shofar, each one consists of three parts. The first part is basically a statement of the theme. A paragraph describing what it is that we're talking about right now. Okay? The statement of the theme of Malchus is about Hashem being the Melech. That's the statement of the theme. Right? So let's take a look. You're looking at page two. What is the statement of the theme of Malchus? Aleinu. Now, we know Aleinu from the end of davening, right? But Aleinu actually originates here. It was borrowed. The original Aleinu Shabbat Ladon HaKol that we say at the end of davening every day, Shachris, Minchin, Ma'ariv, originates, and by the way, according to the Gemara, the basic text, I'm not saying every word, but the basic text of the Musa Shemana essay was composed by Rav. The Amora Rav, like Rav and Shmuel, Rav. It's called Tkiusa the Rav, right? The brachas relating to the Kiyus composed by the Amora Rav, the great, early important Amoraim. So, Aleinu comes from there. This is where Aleinu comes from, not the other way around. I remember when I was a little boy, I must have just been I just learned how to read Hebrew, I guess. Because I was, my great grandfather Hashem was the chief rabbi of Atlantic City in the days when Atlantic City didn't have gambling, they had a chief rabbi. So we used to go for Rosh Hashanah. They used to have a lot of kosher resort hotels in Atlantic City. I think, people remember Teplitsky's, but there were other hotels. So my father, we used to stay by my great grandfather Hashem. My father was the chazan in one of the shuls, whatever. So I remember I didn't go with my father because it was a long walk. I was a little boy, and my great grandfather's shul was around the corner. The shul was called Road of Shalom. I think it still exists now in the suburbs of Atlantic Ventnor, I think, or Margate, that area. Anyway, so I remember going to shul, and it was the old style shul. It had the pews, you know, the typical old style American shul. And I must have just learned how to read Hebrew, so I was following in the siddur. And I was saying Musa and Rosh Hashanah, and I'm davening, and I knew enough about the Shemoneh Esrei, and all of a sudden there's Aleinu. So I thought I had a defective machzer. Nice. I must have missing pages. So I didn't know. I knew I learned Aleinu from the end of davening. So I closed that machzer, put it, again, the pews had the little slots in the front where you could put the sitter. So I put that, I grabbed a different one. I opened up, that's the same thing. And I remember to this day, I couldn't talk to him in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. I was so annoyed. Like, well, so, what's going on here? What happened? I didn't take my three steps back yet. I wasn't finished. So I said, it's Aleinu. Okay, so years later, I learned that I was mistaken, not the sitter. But anyway, so Aleinu is the statement of theme. Why? Because if you think about what Aleinu is, we usually say it so fast we're not listening anyway or paying attention anyhow. But if you think about it, what do we say in Aleinu? V'anachnu karim v'shachem lifnei melech malchem lochem. Right, that's a statement of Malchios. And the second paragraph of Aleinu, al kein nekav lecho, and so on. It says, V'yikablu chulam es o malchusecha. That's in the text of Aleinu, right? V'simlo chaleem eher lelam v'ed. Ki ha-malchus shalchahi. That's Malchios. Aleinu is your statement of theme of Malchios. Okay? So that's the first thing. Now let's skip down to Zichronos. Zichronos begins, as the name suggests, at a Kodesh Baruch Hu being aware and remembering everything. Ato Zocher, page two in the middle. Ato Zocher, Maase Olam. You are Kodesh Baruch Hu, remember everything that ever happened. Ufokei Kol Yitzuri Kedem. You pay attention to every creature. Lifonecha Niglu Kol Talumos. You're aware of every hidden thing, right? That's what we speak about. And therefore, on this day, all the nations and all the people come before you, and so on, right? You remember everything. Ki Zecher Kol Amasim Lifonecha Bo. Right? The memory of everything comes before you. That's your statement of theme in Zichronos. Correct? Now turn to the back page. Shofros. Shofros begins talking about the shofar. Statement of theme. Aton Nigleisa Banan Kvot Chalam Kachal Adarabam. You revealed yourself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at Mount Sinai to give the Jews the Torah. And what accompanied the giving of the Torah? The shofar. So that's when we first come upon the shofar in the Torah Shebichsav. At Har Sinai, the shofar of Sinai, right? The Kol Shofar Chazak Ma'od and so on. So there's your statement of theme there. And again, there are varying lengths. The Malchus is the longest opening statement of themes. It's a little shorter, but that's your basic statement of theme. Just as a side point, you know, it's interesting. Rabbi Yosef Albo, one of the great medieval Jewish philosophers, noted, many of us are familiar, many people say it, it appears in the Siddur at the end of davening, that the Rambam, you know, sort of outlined 13 principles of faith. Yud Gimel Ikar Emunah. 13 things that every Jew has to know. Animamin Bemunah Shleima, the 13 animamins. Whether the Rambam formulated it in that way or not, different discussion, but the 13 animals, the 13 cardinal principles of our faith. Rosu Albo narrowed it down to three. There are three basic ideas. Everything can be subsumed. These are the three principal things. Rosu Albo said, yeah, the three things are the awareness of the existence of God, that, you know, that there is a God, right? And the notion that there's a concept of reward and punishment, that what we do here matters, that God keeps track and so on. And the idea of the divine revelation, the Torah Misinai. Those, it kind of knocks everything down. Those are the three main things according to Yosef Albo. And he comments that that's exactly the three themes of Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros. Right? Malchios, that God is the king. That's awareness of God's existence, that there's a God, right? That's Malchios. Zichronos, that he's aware of everything goes on, reward and punishment. There's accountability in this world. And Shofros represents the divine revelation. Right? And actually, if you look in the psukim of Shofros, I digress for a moment, but the psukim in Shofros refer to three different periods in history of divine revelation through Shofar. The first one is the Shofar of Sinai, right? The Shofar of the past, Har Sinai. Then there's the Shofar in its role in the Beis HaMikdash. And then there's a Shofar of the future. You talk about Shofar Golo. Eventually, HaKadosh Baruch will sound the Shofar and bring the redemption and so on. So those are the three ideas of revelation. Anyway, in all three of these things, are these three things, Malchus and Shofros, are the major, or among the major principles of our faith. That's the idea of Rosh Hashanah. Okay, so now we've established that each of the three brachas, Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros, each have three, each one starts with a statement of theme. Okay, now let's go back to Malchus on page 2. What comes after the statement of theme? After the statement of theme comes, in each section, psukim. What I like to call proof texts. Texts from Tanakh that illustrate the veracity of the claim we made in the statement of theme. So in Malchios, the proof texts all are about HaKadosh Baruch Hu being the king. So if we take a look in the paragraph of Malchios, the second paragraph, towards the end, the fifth line of the second paragraph, Kakosuv b'sarasecha Hashem yimloch le'olam v'ed. Right, we have actually three psukim from the Torah that all speak about Hashem being the Melech. Hashem Yimloch Olam Ve'ed. V'Namar, another pasuk, Lo Hibit Avim Yaakov L'Aram Moisah Hashem Elok Avim Usruas Melech Bo. Another pasuk, V'Namar V'Hibit Shurin Melech. So three psukim from Torah which illustrate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech. Then we have three psukim from Ksuvim. Okay, now you would expect if we're going to bring three psukim, it should be Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim, Tanakh, in that order. And it's not. It's actually Torah, Suvim Nevi'im. So it's a little bit backwards, but there's a reason for that. And that's because it happens to be that all of the psukim from Ksuvim, right, the third part of Tanakh, that are cited here in this Shemoneh Esrei, are from Tehillim, which chronologically, Tehillim according to our tradition, was written by David HaMelech, chronologically were composed before the psukim from Nevi'im. The psukim we quote from Navi are later psukim, later Nevi'im. So that's why it's in this order. Okay, so you have three psukim from Navi. Over Divrei Kodshecha Kasuv Lemor, in your holy scriptures it says the following, Ki Hashem Hamlucha, right? V'nemar Hashem Moloch Yisraveish. Next pasuk, V'nemar Su'ushar Moshem L'Nosu Pisachom V'yavo Melech HaKavot. So now you have three psukim from Torah, three psukim from Ksuvim, and then three psukim from Nevi'im. V'yideh V'odecha Nevi'im Kasuv Lemor. K'omar Hashem Melech Yisrael V'galo, right? V'nemar V'olom Moshim V'atzimish Paras HaReisav V'hesol Hashem Hamlucha. And V'nemar V'hashem L'melech HaKavot. Three psukim from Ksuvim. So you have three psukim. There are your proof texts from our Tanakh, from our Bible. Three psukim from Torah, three psukim from Ksuvim, three psukim from Navi. That back up the theme. Now let's skip down to Zichronos. You see the exact same thing. After your proof text, after your statement of theme, you have proof text. Again, three from Torah, three from Ksuvim, three from Nevi'im. This time, speaking about a Kaddish Baruch Hu, being aware and remembering everything. So we take a look. In the third paragraph of Zichronos here, it starts, Ki Zecher Kalmasim Lefanecha Ba. So it mentions, on the third line, Kakasu B'sarasech, Hashem remembered Noach, right, during the flood. Vayiyiz Kor Lekim Es Noach. And then in Vinemar, because Baruch Hu remembered his covenant when the Jews were in Mitzrayim, by Yiskolach Kimes Brisas Avrom Yisitzvah is Yaakov, and Vinemar was Zacharti is Brisi Yaakov, again, all things to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's memory, and memory just not in the sense of remembering, but active involvement in terms of reward and punishment in this world, right, being aware of what's going on in this world. And then you have Psukim from Ksuvim. But with Dibei Kachar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zecha Osanli Flosav, other Psukim, we have to read every passing, and by Navi also. Kadosh Baruch Hu, and these three Psukim all demonstrate the theme of Zichronos. And if you look at the last page now, the same thing with Shofar. You have three, after your statement of theme, you have three Psukim from Torah, then three Psukim Ksuvim, then three Psukim of Navi, all of which speak about Shofar. So the three Psukim of Torah, which you look in the paragraph of Shofar's, end of the third line, Kakasuba Sarasecha, Vaiva Mashrishu El Saboka, right, this is at Har Sinai. The third day, Vahi Kolosuv Rokim, Anon Kaved Alahar, and so on and so forth, right, this whole, scene in Har Sinai, the Kol Shofar Chazak Maod, right, that the Sinai was accompanied by the Shofar. And Emar, Vahi Kolos Shofar Alech Chazak Maod, and so on. Vahola Amron, Sakolos, and so on. So you have again Shofar three times. Then from Ksuvim, three Psukim of Ksuvim, which talk about the Shofar of the Mikdosh, right, Bachatzotzos, Vakol Shofar, Haril Nehem El Hashem, and so on. And then, three Psukim Novi, about the future, right? The future shofar. Bahaya Be'omahu, you took up a shofar, Godol, Vavavavdim Beretz Ashur, Vahidach Meretz Mitzrayim. These are three Psukim about shofar of the future, shofar Mashiach. So all three, so I've demonstrated to you now, and hopefully now you have a little better understanding of the structure. Each of Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofars have three parts. I'm sorry, we've done two so far, right? The opening statement of theme, then your proof text, three Pesukim from Torah, three Pesukim from Ksuvim, three from the Navi, and then the third part, let's go back to Malchus, the third part is a request in association with that theme. So let's look back now at the last paragraph of Malchus. What does it say there? Elokeinu Melech Hevasin, and we ask Hashem, Melech al kol ha'olam kulo b'chodecha, reign over the whole, let the whole universe know that you are the Melech, right? That's the request related to Malchus. Reveal your kingship over your dominion over the whole world. And it ends, Baruch Atah Hashem, Melech al kol ha'aretz. That's the concluding. That's the third part of Malchus. Your statement of theme, your proof texts, and then finally your request. Melech al kol ha'olam kulo. God, reign over the whole universe. Reveal your kingship to everybody. Zichronos, what's the request at the end? Look at the bottom of the second page. Elokeinu Kaseinu, Zochreinu b'zikaron tov lefanecha. Please remember us positively. Right? That's our request in Zichronos. It's a day, it's Yom HaDin. We ask our Kadosh Baruch Hu, Zichronos, please remember us positively. And remember the Akedah, which we lay in on Rosh Hashanah, the second day. That's why the Baruch ends on top of the next page. Baruch Atah Hashem, Zocher HaBris. Remember your covenant with our people, with the Jewish people, right? So Zichronos, the request is remember us favorably, and remember the bris, remember the covenant, Baruch HaTashem, Zocher HaBris, remember the Akedah, great-great-grandfather of Avraham Avinu. And what's the request in Shofros? Look at the last paragraph of Shofros. Elokeinu Keseinu, Tekab Shofar Gadol L'Cheruseinu. Sound the great shofar of our redemption, right? That's the request of Shofros. And it ends, Baruch Atah Hashem, Shomea Kol Truas Amo Yisrael Berachamim. Hear our shofar with mercy. So now you understand the structure of Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros. Statement of theme, proof text, concluding request on that theme. Very nice. What's all this got to do with the Gemara? So now let's figure it out. Very fascinating. Suggestive of Soloveitchik like this. And again, I think this is worth in its own right because you get to understand the structure because you know, it's such random, it seems so random, it's not random at all. So I have to say that I wasn't fully honest with you. There aren't actually 9 psukim, but as we already saw in the Gemara, there are 10. There are 10 psukim. There are 3 psukim from Torah that we saw. In each of the 3 sections, Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros, there are 3 psukim from Torah, 3 psukim of Ksuvim, 3 psukim of Navi, and then there's a 10th pasuk, another pasuk from the Torah. So let's keep it. We're on the back page, so let's take a look. But the 10th pasuk is a little bit different. The 10th pasuk is not connected. Doesn't follow the other. The other 9, take a look, you're looking at the last page. Shofros, right? So you have this pasuk and Nehemiah, have all 9 psukim, 3 from Torah, 3 from Ksuvim, 3 from the Vim. Then you start Elokeinu Melech Hevasein, the last paragraph, Tekab B'Shofar Gadol L'Cheruseinu, etc. And then we'll say, Kemetzuva Aleinu B'Sarasecha De Moshe Avdecha Mipichu Adecha Kamor, here's a pasuk. And it doesn't actually mention shofar, interesting, it mentions the chatzotzos, uskatem b'chatzotzos. That's the 10th pasuk. The 10th pasuk, the extra one from the Torah, the fourth one from the Torah, is not attached to the other nine. It's a separate, and it's built into the request. It's part of that concluding paragraph, Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu. Okay, take a look, turn back now to Zichronos. Turn back to Zichronos. Look at the bottom of the page. Elokeinu Elokeinu Zochreinu B'Zichron Tov L'Fanecha, and so on, right? Remember us for favorably and all the positive things. And now, I'm sorry, flip back over. There it is again, at the end of the top line of the back page of page 3. V'kayim lano Hashem Elokeinu Sadova Shiv Tachtonu B'Sorosecha. Keep the promise that you made in the Torah, Aydei Moshe Avdecha Mipichodecha Kamur, V'zacharti Lohem B'ris Rishonim. I will remember the covenant of old, Asher Otzeisi Osam Eretz Mitzrayim, and so I took them out of Mitzrayim. Again, notice that the 10th pasuk is in the request. It's not attached to the other nine. It's an extra pasuk that comes a little bit later. It comes almost, as it were, to support the request. It's not part of the proof text. The proof text we've established. Now, three is a chazokah. So you have three pesukim from Torah, three pesukim from Ksuvim, three pesukim from Navi, and now you have the extra one from the Torah to support the request. The only this is what I was Soloveitchik pointed. The only problem is in Malchios. Because in Malchios, it doesn't quite work. Let's take a look at Malchios now. That's why I did it in reverse order. Okay? In Malchios, the 10th pasuk does seem to come right after the other nine. The 10th pasuk is, there's still a 10th pasuk. But it's not in the Elokeinu, you look in Malchios, it's not in the Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu paragraph, but rather right before. It says, V'soroscha chasuv lemor, right? It says in your Torah, that's the fourth Torah pasuk, the 10th pasuk, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Which offhand, what's that got to do with Malchios? But we think for a moment, what is Shema? What do we call that in the language of the Gemara? Kabbalas O Malchus Shemayim, right? Saying Shema is accepting Hashem as the king. So there, it's a little bit tougher to suggest this, but Rav Soloveitchik said he's convinced that he's right. That there too, this pasuk really belongs in the Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu paragraph. The reason it's not is because this Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu paragraph is said as well at Ma'ariv and at Shacharis and at Mincha. We don't have a pasuk, so the pasuk isn't. See, Zichronos and Shofar is only said at Musaf, the way we pasuk. So the paragraph is left intact, but that pasuk really belongs with the Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu. In fact, I don't know what the minute here in the shul is, but you know, very often by the Chazanim, that last pasuk, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, is a big crescendo. And then the bigger the chazan, the bigger the crescendo, right? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Everybody chimes in, ah, right? So according to the Rav, he didn't like that. He said, make the crescendo in the previous pasuk. And the previous pasuk. It's also a good pasuk. Bayom ahu yeshem echad, ushmo echad. And everybody say, ah. And then say, right, attach it to the net. Okay, I'm not telling the chazanim what to do. You don't get involved in that problem. But that happens to be the maishu. I'm the chazan, so I can do whatever I want. But but that's what the Rav suggested, that 10th pasuk really belongs with the request. Now, let's focus for a moment on Tekiah Shofar. Tekiah Shofar is a mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah. Tekiah Shofar, as we already saw, is linked to Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofars. Whether, like we suggested before, that becomes a Dindo Raisa or not, that's a dispute. But clearly the Psukim and all of this is linked to Shofar. But what exactly is the mitzvah of Tekiah Shofar? There's a lot to say about Shofar, but very briefly right now. In a certain sense, if we think about it, isn't it peculiar that we blow the Shofar in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei? Especially if it's the Sound Shemoneh Esrei, but even in the Chazor Shashatz. Do we do any other mitzvah in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei? I mean, on Pesach, do we eat matzah in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei? I mean, do we wave the lulav on Sukkot in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei? Certainly not. You'd not be allowed to. Right? So why? We blow shofar after laning, after Haftorah, you know. So we blow shofar before the Shemoneh Esrei. And that's not we blow shofar. We have to want to run around the 107. We blow shofar in the Kaddish afterwards. What kind of business is this? Do we blow shofar in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei? Anything else we do in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, we call the hefsek. It's an interruption. Can't do that. I'm not taking away from shofar. But the other important mitzvahs too, we don't read the Megillah in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei and Purim. We don't do any mitzvah in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. You can ask about Birchas Kohanim. Okay, Birchas Kohanim is an interesting issue, and it's related to a different discussion. Huh? The Vida and Kippur, very good. The Vida and Kippur, there at least, the Vida and Kippur, actually, in the Silent Shemoneh Esrei, we say it after the Shemoneh Esrei. And, you know, probably in the Chazor Shashat, it's correct. We do say the Vida, Al Chet, and the Yashamnu, on the Kippur. There at least, it's prayer, right? It is a form of Tefillah. So I could see that, but you're on the right track. The answer is, because Tkiya Shofar is also tefillah. Shofar is also a prayer. It's crying out to God. The Rav said on other occasions, you know what Tkiya Shofar is? It's almost like a primordial, it's a cry, I don't even know what to say. I've got to scream. I'm saying all these words, but maybe that's not enough. Shofar is a cry to God. There's a famous story, they say over from a lady, Yitzhak of Berditchev, that there was a young shepherd boy who said, he was a mute in those days, he was deaf mute, he was unable to, maybe wasn't deaf, whatever, he could mute, he was uneducable and so on and so forth. So he would watch people's sheep, and he came into the shul on Rosh Hashanah, and was so taken by the witness going on, he couldn't speak, so he started to whistle. So imagine, I don't know what would happen in many shuls, you know, if a guy comes in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei on Rosh Hashanah and starts whistling. So that's what happened in that shul. People, crazy, you know, they want to throw him out. And Rabbi Yitzchak understood, he said, no, that whistling is more sincere than half of our tefillahs. Because he's reaching out the best way he can, that's what he can do. So Tkiya Shofar represents a call to God. It's not eating matzah in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, it would be forbidden. As wonderful as matzah is, good. It's nothing to do with davening. Waving the lulav does have to do with davening. It's a separate mitzvah. Tkiya Shofar is another form of tefillah. In fact, the Gemara says, you know why our shofar is bent? Some people have the double bent shofar, because it's supposed to be like a person bent over in prayer. You know, you're bent over in tefillah. And there are many other connections between tefillah and Tkiya Shofar. So shofar is a call, it's a request to God. It's a calling out, Hashem, hear our tefillahs. In fact, it's interesting, just look at the last words in this thing, the bracha shofars. It ends, Shomea kol truas. What does that sound like? Shomea tefillah. Shomea tefillah, it's the last bracha, the request section. When I say Shomea tefillah, so in Rosh Hashanah we say, Shomea kol truas amo yisrael berachamim. Suggested Rav Soloveitchik the following. The 10th pasuk, the extra pasuk, is not part of the proof text. It's part of the request. The request associates with the shofar. Now, said the Rav, we understand what Rabbi Akiva said to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, according to the way the Gemara explained it. According to you, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, if you're not going to blow shofar after Malchios, you don't need the 10th pasuk. You only need 9 psukim. The 10th pasuk associates with shofar. It's part of the request. And in fact, why did Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri not have the shofar then? Because we have a practice that in the first 3 brachas of the Shemoneh Esrei, we don't make requests. Requests are in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei. The first 3 brachas identified at the beginning of this year to come full circle are brachas of Shevach. And the last 3 brachas of Hodah. Request is not the theme. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri put Malchios in the 3rd bracha, Kiddush Hashem. Therefore, there's no request. Therefore, there's no shofar, because shofar is fundamentally a request. And said Rabbi Akiva, well, if there's no shofar, there should also be no 10th pasuk. That's what the Gemara meant. That's what Rabbi Akiva meant. According to me, Rabbi Akiva, and according to the way we paskin, there is tkiya shofar at the Malchios, and there is a request. Okay, and if there is a request, then there's also a 10th pasuk. So that's how Rav Soloveitchik worked out this particular Gemara. This mention is a total side point. Go back to the Gemara. There is actually a 3rd opinion that appears in the page. Later on in the page, he says, you know, there's a 3rd opinion that Malchios stands on its own. In the middle of the page, I don't know, it's smack in the middle of the page, it quotes Reish Shin Beis Gimel, Shimon Gamliel. Shimon Gamliel says that you have the first 3 regular brachas, then Malchios by itself, and then Kedushas Hayom is combined with Zichronos in the middle. Okay, and then the Shofars and then the rest. He said, why? Because he said, Kedushas Hayom is always the middle bracha. So on Shabbos, when there are 7 brachas, and regularly Yontif, and even Rosh Hashanah, Mincha, Shachris, and Musav, whenever there's Shemoneh Esrei, 7 brachas, so the middle one, number 4, is the bracha of Kedushas Hayom. So he said, well, on Rosh Hashanah, we got 9 brachas, so the middle one is number 5, when there are 9 brachas. 5 is Zichronos, because you have the first 3, last 3, Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofar. So he said, for some symmetry, you put the Zichronos in the middle with Kiddush Hayom. Kiddush Hayom goes in the middle with Zichronos. I don't know if there's any holdover from that, although I discovered, I don't know if there's any Sfaradim here, that, you know, on Yontif, we never say Yalav Yavod Musaf. We only say Yalav Yavod Meir of Shachris and Minchet. But at least some Sfaradim on Rosh Hashanah Musaf, they say Yalav Yavod and Zichronos. And I wonder if that's a holdover from Shimon Gamliel, because what is Yalav Yavo? Zochreino Hashem Lechem L'tova, right? Zichoneinu, Fiktoneinu, V'zichonos, Zichonos. The theme fits in. But in any case, that's not our practice. But what we see is that the brachas of Malchus Zichon Shofar, which is beautiful liturgy and beautiful psukim and beautiful, it's a very, very organized structure. And the way we follow, you have these three parts to each, your statement of theme, your proof text, your final request, which includes a pasuk, and according to our practice, which includes Tekiah Shofar as well. We want to wish everybody a ksivach simatova, a good kabench jar. We should have the opportunity to daven properly and hear the shofar properly in Rosh Hashanah and enjoy, and that all of our tefillah should be answered l'tova.
Amen. I want to thank Rabbi Talbus very much for a very meaningful presentation, and I hope that it will enhance people's davening. And I also want to, again, thank the Feldblum family who sponsored the Kol Yom Rishon this morning in loving memory of Avi's parents, Professor Meir Simcha Feldblum, Dr. Esther Yalas Feldblum. The neshama should have an aliyah, should be a good kibbutz diyar, and maybe we'll talk to you around for a couple minutes. If people want to ask you a couple of questions about the davening. Okay. Everyone have a good day. If somebody lost a telephone, please let me know. A cell phone. And Rabbi Friedman, will you lead us in the benching?
Have a sign of rep.